Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it. Hi, Kylie.
What's up? I changed what I said.
That's good. We're workshopping some new intros.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, should it be how are you or what's up?
Probably not what's up, but I liked what's up. Brain freaked out and I didn't want
to
say.
Well, I was about to say how are you again.
Oh, that's okay. So,
you know. Anyways, we're still workshopping.
We are intros. Friends in real life.
We are not robots that are, like, forced to be together for the sake of this podcast.
We're just trying to, you know, sound like real people. It's hard.
Yeah, as soon as you put a microphone in front of you, you're like,
forgot how to talk.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. So, anyways, how's your week been?
Forgive us. It's been good. It's been so nice outside.
It's been gorgeous.
But I don't trust it.
No, I am grateful that the sun doesn't set at 6 p.m. now.
Yeah.
But also doesn't rise until like 8 a.m. No.
I know that's an unpopular opinion, but I like it because it's like, I'm trying to work on going to bed earlier. And it's like, yes. The sun is forcing me. It's like, hi, it's dark outside. You better make your dinner.
Yeah. I can see
that. But I do like it because it makes me feel like I have more time in my day. Exactly. Even though it's the same.
Yes, because I am, like, hanging out with friends. And also, I don't get home because I have a long commute. I don't even get home until probably 6:30.
Oh, that's so true.
And so having that extra hour of daylight, I'm like, oh, I can go for a run. I can go outside. I can see the sun for the first time all day because I've been trapped in the office.
You know? That's probably really nice for you.
I do appreciate that. But it's kind of bad because now the sun rises later, and I already am someone who perpetually oversleeps and loves her sleep and really is struggling to be a morning person.
I don't like it when I go on my walk in the morning, it's like pitch black, and it used to be sunrise timed perfectly, and now it's like, dang, I could get like nabbed out here.
Yeah, you could get nabbed. You better be careful.
And then I've got my get nabbed in the early morning. Yeah. I'm like ready to throw an elbow.
Yeah, what's your go-to self-defense move?
Throwing my elbow.
Great.
Elbow straight to
elbow to the throat is always a good move.
But the problem is if they come from behind, I don't know where the throat is.
Right.
So it's just like, hopefully they're small and their throat is my shoulder.
Hopefully they're a very small man that I can throat jab with my elbow.
I need to learn self-defense, but I'm scared of making a fool of myself in the class.
I'll do it with you.
Okay, we need to.
Because we can do it together. But
sometimes Kyle, like, likes to test me.
Oh.
Like in the kitchen.
He'll
just like grab me.
Yeah.
And then it's like, get out of it, get out of it. And I can't because I don't think it's a bad thing, but you shouldn't practice like with your husband because I can't be scrappy with him.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hurt him. But I feel like in real life I'd be feral. Like I'd bite.
Oh, yeah. You'd bite, you know? For sure. You have to bite. You have to scream. You have to bark. I haven't barked at someone before, but I've gotten very close.
Stories of you is when like a strange person approached you at a gas station and you just like yelled at them.
Yeah, I did do that.
I tell that story to people all the time. I'm like, this is what you should do. My friend Olive, it worked for my friend Olive.
I should have barked at him though. Instead of like engaging in scream conversation. By the way, for context, we might cut this, but a man approached me at a gas station very aggressively. He was not sane. He was not with it.
Yeah.
And he was threatening to take my car, maybe take me. He was getting real close.
So you took the situation to your own.
Yes. And I got loud back. It wasn't my most Christian moment, you know, but here is my hot tip.
Okay.
If you're ever at a gas station and someone, you feel like your life is being threatened, I grabbed the gas pump and I threatened to douse it in gasoline. So that is always a good way to deflect.
I just feel like my brain doesn't work on that level. Like,
you have to have some things premeditated.
Like that it's like immediately grabbing the gas. Like in my mind, like I'm just immediately I'm dead, I feel like.
It took me a second to like figure out because I realized like, oh, he's getting very close to me. Like he was at the gas pump and that's why I grabbed the gas pump because he was getting that close to me. It was a very scary
scenario. It's just such a funny
scenario.
Like, what if you had to have doused him with gas?
I know. I was ready though.
Then you're standing there in an Atlanta gas station and you're spraying this man with gasoline.
I was ready to
your body, like, you have so much adrenaline, like, your fight or flight, like, I was so on edge, and then I was on edge the rest of the day, like, I couldn't come back down from that, but I genuinely, like, he was genuinely threatening me, and so I had to do what I had to do. I also have my tiny little pepper spray, but I'm like, the gasoline is gonna be more threatening than my pepper spray.
I know.
But as soon as I grabbed that and started acting crazy, he backed off.
He was like, you're not worth it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So anyways.
I need to practice that.
Yeah. You just have to make yourself not worth it. Just like bark at them because they'll just think that you're crazy and not worth it. So.
That's so funny.
That's my self-defense with Olive.
Here's your practical tip for the episode. It's over now.
Yeah. It's fine.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
So maybe we can talk about spiritual protection.
Yeah. Maybe we should talk about something important. Well, that wasn't important.
Yeah.
Spiritually important.
Yeah, spiritually important. So, Kylie, enlighten me. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're continuing on in our season talking about spiritual disciplines, and we're kind of doing, like, multiple today, but kind of all under the banner of, like, what are some spiritual disciplines we can practice to help us fight sin?
Yes.
So that's kind of what we're talking about. And you could probably lump some other ones in with this, but we're just specifically today we're going to talk about fasting and repentance and kind of how they can, like, go together.
Yeah. Confession and repentance.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good conversation. I'm excited. We were really shocked, like, digging into this.
Yes.
How much we learned.
Oh my goodness.
Like, we probably would have thought, like, we knew not everything there was to know, but it's like, we know the basics.
Yeah.
But then it was like, oh.
Maybe no, my entire, like, paradigm on fasting shifted literally yesterday, and I'm not saying literally yesterday, like, I mean actually yesterday.
Yeah.
But the day before that we recorded this, as I was digging into this, I stumbled across some more very helpful resources that shifted the way that I thought about fasting, and I actually am currently in the middle of a fast, and I realized, I don't know if I really am doing this in a way that is the most helpful that it could be.
Yeah.
But that's just, like, the beautiful journey of learning, of, like, you'll never get to a point where you know it all. You'll never get to a point where you have everything figured out, and I think what's cool about this formation series is that, like, we are also being formed through it, talking about these things, practicing them, trying things out.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you're not too dumb to think about these things. We are still actively making mistakes and figuring out better ways to think about things, to talk about them.
Yeah, so have some grace with us. Like, this is very much a learning conversation for both of us still. So, really, like every episode we say it, but we're just inviting you in to, like, go dig into it for yourself. And hopefully.
And also, these personally are two disciplines that I am not good at.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Because the things that my personality struggles with and, like, the thing that my sort of sin patterns that I struggle with the most are sins of lack of self-control and discipline. I'm an ENFP. I love people. Mm. I like to do things that feel good. I want to be happy all the time.
Yeah.
I avoid conflict or negative feelings like the plague. My instinct is just to run from them. I don't like being uncomfortable. I like having fun and only doing things when I really feel like it. And then when I don't feel like it, I, like, shouldn't have to do it because I don't feel like it, you know? So while I say that in a joking way, it's actually indicative of, like, a deep issue, because the life of the Christian is the life of taking up your cross and following Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
It's denying yourself. It's sacrificing. It's, to some extent, a life guaranteed of suffering.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you read any of the disciples' stories, you see that their life was full of suffering and being uncomfortable and sacrificing their jobs, their lives, their financial comfort to go and follow Jesus. And so what I'm excited to get into is, like, these are the disciplines that I'm not good at that I'm actively trying to be better about so I can fight some of those instincts that are within me.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm thinking that these are commonly neglected, maybe fasting more so than repentance.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully this will be a good Kickstarter for not just us, but for a lot of people to take these practices seriously as something to do consistently.
Yeah.
So we'll start with fasting. And I mean, you know, they go together, so I think we'll be working with them together. But just starting with that, when we say fasting,
yeah,
How would you define that? Like, what do we mean when we say fasting?
So this is what changed yesterday.
Starting off strong.
Yeah, starting off strong. This changed yesterday. I changed my mind about this yesterday. I think before I would have defined fasting as anything that you give up to leave more space for the Lord.
Right.
Which I think can be true. But I think what language was helpful to me is thinking of a fast of abstinence or a fast of self-denial. Mm-hmm. That's probably, I like that better, like a fast of self-denial yeah. versus a true biblical fast.
Yeah.
And so a fast of self-denial, the way that I like to think about it, there is a guy on a podcast I listened to, and I can't remember his name, but it was so brilliant. We'll link it in the description below. It's part of Practicing the Way. They make some beautiful resources all on spiritual disciplines. Yeah. So if there's one spiritual discipline that you want to dive deep on, go to their website. It's all free. They have teaching guides. They have podcasts. They have all sorts of helpful stuff. But this guy in this podcast said that the way that he thinks about fasting is, what are the things that I go to self-soothe my pain that leave God out of the picture?
Yeah.
And he,
that makes me uncomfy.
Totally. And that's how I was kind of thinking of it too, of like, okay, what are the things that I go to for comfort that are not God, that I'm relying on when I'm uncomfortable, when I'm sad, when I'm in a mood, whatever, whatever. What do I go to that's not God? Mm-hmm. And then giving that up. So for me, I realized, and this is the fast I'm currently doing, I realize that I'm an emotional eater. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm happy, I want to eat. When I'm sad, I want to eat. When I'm bored, I want to eat. I love food. I'm a foodie. It's something that brings me a lot of joy. But I noticed I had a really emotional day last week, and I was in a bad mood, and I couldn't really get myself out of it. I was just really frustrated and struggling. Mm-hmm. And this is the first day of my fast. It's funny how these things line up.
Yeah.
And the only thing I wanted in the world was a coffee. I'm like, if I just had a coffee, I'd be fine. And the problem is like, in the past, it's worked. Like, yeah. I'd get a coffee, the caffeine, the sugar mm-hmm. would interact with the chemicals in my brain, give me a hit of dopamine, and then I was fine for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And so I was turning to a worldly thing to give mm-hmm. me the comfort without actually solving my pain or learning how to cope with that pain by bringing it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the other connection that he made, because like, when you think about self-soothing our pain, as babies we learn how to do that. That's one of the first things that you learn, that your parents like make you suffer and cry because you need to learn how to self-soothe to make it in this world. So it's so innate to our human nature, but it also is always the nature of addiction.
Mm.
When you think about any addiction, it always starts with someone trying to self-soothe their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think fasts of abstinence are so helpful, and they're so, especially if there's a specific thing, even like escapism,
mm-hmm.
you know, I also struggle with that too.
I struggle with that as well.
Like, when I'm, you know, struggling with a real life scenario that's causing me frustration or pain, or if there's a conflict in my life, I want to get into a book.
Escape into my book as fast as I can.
And, like, not even a book that is about real life. I want to be taken off to, like, a far-off land.
It can't resemble real life in any way.
True
escapism.
Yes. I want to get as far away from reality as possible. That could mean reading a book, binge-watching a movie series.
Yep.
That could mean going down an Instagram doom scroll hole. Mm-hmm. That
Video
could
games.
Mean, you know, going on and, like, creating your dream life. Like, escapism could be that. Like, Instagram. I think social media is such a huge thing that people should go through a season where they abstain from it, or they
limit it.
Yeah.
And
so they have some self-control, because Instagram is another thing that I'm, like, doing a fast of abstinence from. And I've noticed, like, they're with decrease, and talking about, like, we're currently in the Lent season, like, when you're decreasing things in your life, you're creating more space for the Lord, for you to hear the Lord.
Right.
And especially in a society that's so perpetually busy, it's good for us to practice these things of self-discipline and self-denial.
Yeah.
So all that to say, I was like, okay, this is going to be my fast for Lent, and this is great. And then I was looking into some of Practicing the Way's resources, and they articulated it in a way that really convicted me. They said, like, a true biblical fast is like the fasts that you find in the Bible that are practiced all throughout scripture. And it's funny because when Jesus is talking about fasts in Matthew 7, he's talking about it as if he's already assuming that you're doing it.
Yeah, it's not like, hey, you should fast. Like,
yes.
He talks about, like, honestly, anything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
He talks about it like It's not if you fast, this is the way you should do it. He says when you fast, you shouldn't complain.
Just like prayer, when you pray.
When you pray. He's assuming you're already doing it. Uh-huh. And because in that culture, everyone fasted. It didn't matter if you were really like a faithful or religious person or not. Like, you fasted as a religious mm-hmm. situation. And historically, throughout church history, it was only until very recently we stopped fasting as a corporate church together. Like, it was very common, and not just like Catholic, Protestant, like very recently until church history, like when we stopped doing this, like you fasted for Lent, and then also it was a common practice to fast 2 days a week on Wednesdays and on Fridays, because Wednesday was the day that Jesus was betrayed, Friday was the day that he died. And so you're meeting the idea that like you're practicing and you're taking part of Christ's suffering when you do that, when you deny yourself. So anyways, all that to say, fasts are important because you're practicing self-denial, you're making more room for God, but when you're doing a true biblical fast, there is like a special pleasing aroma that the Lord blesses, especially when it's paired with prayer. And you can see this in the book of Acts, where the people of God are praying. They're trying to make big decisions. There's impending suffering or war or something like that happening, or persecution. Mm-hmm. And so they decide to do, the Lord calls them to fast and to pray for mm-hmm. something specifically. Mm-hmm. And that means a full body fast, like no food from sun up to sundown, like denying yourself of food for some period of time.
Yeah.
So in Esther, they called a nationwide, not nationwide, but like the people like, of yeah. God, people of God wide, 3 day fast.
Yeah.
In Acts, they do a mix of 3 day fast, 1 day fast, those situations. And when it's paired with prayer, you can see like a very special spiritual blessing yeah. that the Lord gives to that. And I don't really know why that is, because you can fast without praying and you can pray without fasting. But for some reason, there's some mystery of God that in the Bible and in real life, when you pair like a true biblical fast
yeah.
with praying, he blesses it in a really crazy and miraculous way.
I think, okay, first we're saying biblical fasting is fasting from food.
Yes.
And all we're food. Saying abstinence fasting, or you could say self-denial fasting, because you know abstinence, that word carries some
connotations.
Yeah, some connotations. Like self-denial fasting would just be like giving up anything. And you could say either of these are like could just be for the sake of self-denial
yeah.
of like carrying your cross, dying yourself, mm-hmm. Partaking in Christ's suffering, but it could also be to remind yourself that you like depend on the yes. Lord in a very tangible way. Yes. And then, you know, also you can pair it with prayer for like decision making.
Yes.
And then what we haven't touched on is you could pair it also with repentance.
Yes.
So there's like a lot here.
Yes.
And what we're getting at is like you can do it in like a lot of different variations for like whatever is going yes. on in your life. Just because like you want to do it consistently, you don't have yes. to have a reason, or like you do have a reason. And I feel like something I'm really challenged by is why am I never doing it?
Yes, same. I never do it. I've never done a true, like, full day fast that, like, is outlined in the Bible. In the Bible, the only other place in the Bible where it's not, like, food being fasted is in 1 Corinthians, when Paul is telling couples that they can abstain from having intimacy for the purpose only of prayer. And so that's the only other time in the Bible where, like, something other than a food fast mm-hmm. is being done.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so why do I never do that? I've always, like, been like, I'm going to abstain from social media, or I'm going to, you know, fast a particular food group, which is what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are good, but I think that there is a special blessing by doing a true
yep.
Bible fast too. And so I think what I'm trying to make clear here in my way of stumbling through this explanation is that like both are good,
yep.
but one doesn't replace the other.
No, yeah.
You can't like, don't assume that you're going to get the same. You will be blessed because the Lord does bless our sacrifice. And when we have the right heart posture, offering a sacrifice to him.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible clearly outlines that there's like a special sort of blessing on like a Bible fast
yep.
or like on like a full day, no food fast.
Yeah, like a food fast. Yeah, I think like, you know, when I think about Esther.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we always have the same takeaways from like a story like Esther. But like, I'm just thinking, you know, when was or maybe moving forward, it's like next time I make a big decision, challenging myself on, okay, not just prayer, but like fasting and prayer, like actually taking it to the Lord and doing something that we see outlined in scripture. And I think for me, the reason I never think of food when it comes to fasting is because it's like, in my heart, do I truly believe that like God actually is the one who created my body and can sustain it? Or do I really believe I need food in order to function?
That's good.
And like, that's it, good. It really is like, that's kind of like the root of what we're like getting at here, you know, the self-soothing thing. Am I avoiding giving up those things because I really believe that that is the only way I can find, like, comfort or self-soothing or, like, whatever
or can do my job or can, you know, complete these tasks? Yes.
And, you know, I don't know. It is interesting. And I think with the self-soothing thing, I think don't hear us say, like, there aren't, like, real practical things, like, you should do in order to function as a human being in the sense of, like, eat a snack if you're hangry. You know what I mean? But it's, like, I think there should be a balance, a marriage of these things of, like, depending on the Lord and, like, functioning the way a human was created to function outside of, like, a food fast. I'm not talking about that. But, like, you know, when we talk about, like, at my work, we talk a lot about self-regulating. So, like, you know, in high intensity, whatever it is, like, okay, maybe breathe. Maybe eat a snack. We're not saying those things are obsolete. Like, you don't need to do them. We're saying that, like, after you breathe, are you also going to pray? You know what I mean? It's like, or while you're breathing, are you going
to
pray?
And also, there's special dedicated times when you feel the Lord prompting you to, like, to set apart, like, okay, for today, I'm going to fast from food so that I can hear the more clearly about, hear the Lord more clearly about this thing. And I think that, like, to us, it may feel like we don't want to be transactional with God or anything like that, but we can see that God invites us to do this in the Bible. And so,
yeah, he created fasting. Yes,
exactly. And there is a lot of, even I'm not educated enough to talk about like the medical benefits of fasting, but you can see even the secular world with like intermittent fasting. And if you look at Eastern religions, all of them have a fasting rhythm because it does, it has positive effects on your body if you do it for long enough. And so I'm not educated enough to like deep dive on all that. So feel free to like deep dive on that on your own. But
it's not surprising.
Yes, because when we think about God as a designer of our bodies, I think it's important for us to also have a theology of body when we're talking about the spiritual disciplines, because we can't only be transformed by the information that we're getting in our heads. And so the great thing about fasting, whether it's and a fast of self-denial where you're craving something, like I'm craving to doom scroll on Instagram, or I'm craving caffeine, like whether it's that or like a real food fast, when you're denying yourself on a body level, you're almost praying with your body. You're actually getting what is in your head and your heart, knowing, like you said, God is the one who designed me and sustained me, and I can trust him. Like, you're actually doing that with your body. You're taking that out of your head and out of your heart and putting it into your actual practice. And I feel like that's such a huge disconnect that so many Christians struggle with. Of like, I know that God is trustworthy. I know that he's faithful, but I don't feel that way. I can't act on it in my body. But I know that because I know that scripture says this and I've seen it in this way. Like, we can intellectually understand things, but when we do that separate from the practices, we wonder why. Why can't I, like, actually believe this in my real life practically? But when you are using your body as part of, like, a holistic approach to spiritual formation, you can see how these practices are tools to connect and close those gaps.
And I mean, like, I'm just, you know, thinking, like, you know, you have in the Gospels, like, Jesus, what is the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like, fasting plays into every single one of those, you know? And it is interesting, you know, our religion now in the West is as separate from, like, physical as possible. So it's not shocking that fasting is neglected.
We see ourselves and our faith and our spirits as something that primarily happens in our mind and in our heart, in our feelings and in our intellect, but not in our bodies.
Not in our body. And then that's also why you have, like, I mean, a neglect of taking care of your body. Like, the whole thing is just wrapped up. But then you also have, on top of that, living in a culture, especially in America, mm-hmm. where self-denial is, like, the most absurd thing you could do.
Yes, it's actually a crime. Yeah.
Not just denying sin. Oh. But, like, denying things, that's not necessarily a bad thing that you do whatever it is that you're giving up.
Yes.
But it's, like, just for the sake of self-denial of, like, seeking the heart of God, like, that's foreign.
Denying yourself in our day and age is oppression.
Yeah.
When you deny yourself, you're oppressing yourself. And that is just something that gets inside of our brain subliminally, and we don't even realize that that's what we believe.
That's so true.
And that's why we're so hesitant to step out in faith and do these things and act on these, you know, I'm going to deny myself in this way. Because in our brains, we think like, oh, that's oppression. But in reality, that is freedom. Mm-hmm. And that's what God calls us to do. That's what all of Christianity mm-hmm. is all about. And so I think also like the spiritual power too, like if you have a sin pattern of gossip, of lust, of like a bodily instinct that you do, of gluttony, because that's another huge sin that we don't talk about in the American church.
It's just like, does it even exist?
Yeah, because we idolize comfort. But in reality, the early church fathers always listed gluttony as the first of the seven deadly sins mm-hmm. because they believed that if you are not able to control your physical appetite, you're not going to be able to control any appetite for evil.
Wow, that's interesting.
Which... it's like, it makes so much
Welcome
sense.
Welcome to America.
Exactly.
Like, literally.
Exactly. And so, anyways, I think that when you take yourself out of that, like, Western worldview and you can start seeing yourself as a holistic being and start seeing your spiritual sanctification, not just as, like, a theology of the mind and of the heart and of the soul, but of the body, you can actually start to make progress fighting the things that you want to fight. But I will say... for me personally, and again, I'm fasting right now, and this, I'm like literally actively figuring all this stuff out, so please give me grace. But it's so easy to be prideful and legalistic about fasting, and it makes me think, like, oh, like, again, I'm doing a fast of abstinence. Like, I'm like, oh, if I slip up and if I break my fast and I eat something I'm not supposed to, or I realize that this had an added sugar and I didn't mean to, and like, should I just start all over? Like, I'm so stressed out. Like, I'm the worst. I can't keep this. Or if I have a moment of weakness and I get a pastry or whatever and I, like, hate myself for it. Like, it's really easy to get super legalistic about these things and, like, really have shame be a part of the story. But that's not God's intention at all. So what has been helpful for me is, like, on the first day of the fast, when I was really struggling, I prayed to the Lord and said, like, Lord, like, I want this fast to draw me closer to you. Mm-hmm. I want to hear your voice more clearly. I want to feel your presence more tangibly in my life. I just want more of you. Mm-hmm. Like, I want my life, my prayer life to be strengthened. I want to hear your voice more clearly. And I want to have more self-control at the end of this. And so that has helped guide my fast of, like, you know, my best friend got married while I was fasting. And I realized, okay, if I break to celebrate my best friend, none of my spiritual goals are going to be neglected. Like, the spiritual goals are, like, sort of the North Star that have helped guide me. And, like, that has really, really helped me not fall into a spiral of, like, oh, I messed up. I hate myself. Because that's something that I previously experienced with fasting. And I also think about, like, the Pharisees. And then Matthew... I forget if it's Matthew, maybe it's 15 or 16, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he's rebuking them because they're asking him about Sabbath. And they're like, Lord, like, why, how can you break the Sabbath? How can you work on the Sabbath? And he's saying, like, you are trying to make tradition the word of God, and that makes the word of God void. Because he's basically telling them, you've added on to the commands of God, and that has inadvertently made the actual word of God null and void.
Yeah.
Because, and so I don't want to add extra things to my fast and, like, extra rules to my fast or whatever my spiritual discipline is. Because the point isn't the rule. The point is, what is it turning you into?
It would be almost like the same thing, like, when we say all the time, like, Bible reading doesn't have to look a certain way, prayer doesn't have to look a certain way, we shouldn't also apply that to fasting. Like, sure, you should be disciplined and trying to do what you set out to do, but the goal is not to, like, live by the letter and, like, hate yourself when you fall short. The goal is to seek after the Lord and, like, actively ask him to give you the strength to be obedient.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that the purpose of a fast, just to make it really clear, increase your dependence on the Lord, recognize your need for him, increase your prayer life, depend on him more, and practice self-control. Those are the things I'm personally getting out of fasting, and I'm going to try for the first time ever, I'll let y'all know how it goes, doing like a Bible fast of like sun up to sundown. I'm not going to eat anything, and I'm just going to also not do that on a day where my life is super crazy and I don't really have room to think about God, but I'm going to do that on the day where I have more space to, like, really truly think and pray intentionally about one thing all day.
That's good.
And I'll let y'all know how that goes.
Yeah, that's good. I think maybe we didn't plan on talking about this, but I feel like it would be foolish to not bring up when Jesus teaches on fasting in the Sermon on the Mount.
Absolutely.
Like, what he says. Because I feel like to hear Jesus's words of, like, the heart behind fasting, you know, him saying, like, when you fast, I think he says, like, don't put, like, sackcloth and ashes. Yeah. And, like, you know, basically, like, what you don't want to do is go around being like, oh, sorry, I can't have lunch. Like,
I'm fasting.
Or it's like, oh, I'm so sick, I have a headache, I'm fasting. Like, that's not the point. Something that has been really encouraging to me, my husband, he's probably one of the only people I know who continually, like, is fasting. Like, he thinks about it. He's very intentional with it. It is a spiritual discipline, and I thought that was weird. I was like, we don't do that anymore, but we do. We should. And for him, you'll never know.
Yeah.
Because that is a huge aspect of fasting. It's like, it's between him and the Lord. Nobody, it's no one else's concern, basically. He's like, if it comes up, like, and it has come up, he's quick to explain and to share why he wants to fast and whatever. But, you know, we're talking about, like, intense food fasting where it could alter his behavior. Mm-hmm. And something he always says is, like, I want you to hold me accountable. He's like, I want to be in a better mood while I'm fasting. Like, I want it to be, like, you thought that I had a full meal because I'm in such a good mood.
Because you are so full on your communion with the Lord. Yes. Like, the Lord is filling you up. And the more that you practice and the more that you fast, like, you will get better at that. I think this is something, too, that, like, start small. If you're wanting to start small, like, don't be like, I'm going to do a 3-day fast, no food, only water. Like, okay, you can try that. But, like, maybe first, instead of having lunch, your hour lunch break, just don't have lunch and go and pray for an hour.
Because I think
another thing, too, that I realize is, like, if the goal of the fast is to think about food less so you can think about God more, like, think less about, like, a bodily instinct so you can think about God more, and you're denying yourself and you're saying, God, like, I want you more than I want this coffee. I want you more than I want this food right now to satisfy my hunger. Like, when I was doing my fast to figure out, like, what I can and can't have, I was spending a lot of time at Sprouts going up and down the aisle reading ingredients, figuring out what I could and couldn't have.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent a lot of time, like, cooking and figuring out what meals I can do that would apply for my fast or for my new diet. And I realized that's actually defeating the point. Mm-hmm. And so it's also something that is so humbling because as you do it, like, the Lord will reveal things to you.
Yeah, for sure.
You're doing it. But, like, the goal is to create more space for the Lord, too. And so, like, if you're talking so much about your fast that it's the fast is consuming you, just realize, like, you may be missing the point.
Yeah.
The point is to be thinking about and talking about the things of God more.
That's good.
Not about how you're suffering in your fast.
Yeah, that's good. So I think, you know, we haven't dug into it yet, but just to kind of pivot there, how does this play in with repentance? We can see this in the Bible. You know, repentance is, well, let's just start with defining repentance. This I feel like is often neglected as well.
Yeah.
Even though you hear about it more, you hear about it, but it's not, like, practiced.
People assume that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, actually, I'll take it back.
Yeah.
I think that we think, in our Western, evangelical, Americanized, Christian worldview, we think that the day that you say, God, I surrender all, I repent of all my sins, you're just, like, covered the rest of your life.
Once you
raise your hand in service and you say, it's me, I want to give my life to God, I repent of all my sins, you say those magic words, and then you're good for the rest of your life.
No more repenting.
Yeah. So, Kylie, tell me why that's not helpful.
So, you know, this episode we're talking about fighting sin, and fasting is one of those ways. I feel like fasting is a good, like, it's like, it can be proactive and reactive.
Yeah.
I think that's probably clear from everything we just said. And then you have repentance, which is you recognize that you have sinned, like, actively, like, day to day. And I would say, when we're talking about spiritual disciplines, we're talking about repentance, it should be daily, if not multiple times a day. If not, the second you realize you just sinned, which that is so hard. When I say that, don't hear me say, like, that should be easy if you're a Christian. That is so, so hard because we're just, like, blind to our sin. But it's recognizing the sin, seeing it for what it is, and then turning from it. Like, not just, oh, I see that sin. That was bad. Like, I feel bad about it.
It's like, I don't want to do it again. Mm-hmm. And it's going to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, accepting that forgiveness. Not in like a salvation way, but it's like thinking about the gospel. Like, man, I am really torn up that I just did that. Like, I'm feeling the weight of my sin, but Christ died for that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to do something different. Mm-hmm. And that, to think about everything I just said being daily, you could never forget the gospel. Yeah. I feel like this is where when you have people who are like moving on from the gospel, yes. It's probably because of a lack of repentance.
Yes.
If you're not seeing your sin, and if you're not actively every single day thinking about how the gospel applies to yes. you, not just you as a person, but like you as in what you do every day, it is so like, it is so humbling. Mm-hmm. It is hard. It's not fun. But at the same time, it's like incredible.
Yes.
It's comforting. It's freeing. It releases like a weight off of your yes. shoulders. And this can go with fasting because, you know, you're thinking about the Lord and you're probably failing at it mm-hmm. the whole time. You're going to mm-hmm. have so many opportunities to repent, you know? And so I think this is just repentance. Yeah. Fighting sin, because the way that this is fighting sin is repentance is turning from it. It's not just confession. It's not yeah. just saying like, this is what I did. It's I'm going to fight this sin. I'm committing yeah. when I'm repenting to fight this sin and to do something different.
And I think inviting people in to hold you accountable yeah. is so powerful. And I think that there's something that is so spiritually powerful about confessing and repenting out loud mm-hmm. in the community of
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
Because not only are you getting accountability, but I think speaking the word of like, Jesus, I know that you have forgiven me for this sin, and I know that you will strengthen me so I don't do it again. Mm-hmm. Speaking the name of Jesus has a spiritual power to help yeah. enact the thing that you're trying to do. And so I think that there's even a special and really incredible opportunity that we have to like confess, mm. repent, and confess it to someone in accountability. Because I think sometimes when we confess or we're stuck in a sin pattern and we can't figure out how to get out of it, I think number one, the check is, have you confessed it to someone?
Yeah.
Have you actually repented of it? Have you mourned like gossip? I struggled with gossip for a really long time mm-hmm. and I hated it. But for a long time, especially when I was younger, like high school, college, I was like, well, like everyone does it. Like everyone gossips. It's fine. I'm not really going to think about it. Yeah. But once I think about the Beatitudes and I see how Jesus said, like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Like mm-hmm. mourning my spiritual poverty,
yeah.
mourning my spiritual sin, and seeing like, this is so nasty that I would speak this way about someone who God made in his image.
Yeah.
Like, that's really awful. And sometimes it takes you taking a step back and realizing the evil that is the thing that you're doing, which is so hard. Mm-hmm. But like we said, when we were talking about our beauty season, the yeah. previous season, like that ugliness, the ugliness of sin should repel you away from it. It should be a force, and the beauty of the grace should draw you closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So being able to hold that like repentance of like, this is ugly and I don't want to do it again, and also God is giving me the strength to not do it again yeah. and God's grace covers it all mm-hmm. and so that makes you more grateful for the Lord and gives you more awe and wonder and worship of like who God is and what he's doing because of the sacrifice mm-hmm. that he made to cover that sin mm-hmm. but good. I think that a lot of times in our Western culture we think about repentance and we think about confession as sort of like a judicial transactional experience of like, I say, God, I'm sorry for this, and I don't want to do it again. And then he lets me not do it. And then I get grace and then it's covered and I'm good. I'm solid. I'm getting out of hell for free. Card, right. You know, but everywhere else in the world, they see Christianity and they see repentance as like spiritual power because they're seeing actual spiritual warfare and yeah. they're thinking about the God that has power over the demons that they're seeing in their own lives
yeah.
and the evil that they're seeing like physically manifest
yeah.
in their own lives. And so I'm thinking about like Eastern cultures or cultures that where spirituality is more common thing. In the West, we don't really have a complex for that or like mm-hmm. we don't really have a framework for that. And so I think that like, don't think about repentance just as like a judiciary atonement perspective. It is that, but it also, the name of Jesus has spiritual power to cover your sins and to help you not get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're repenting, just like fasting, you're depending on God to help you not do it again, because you clearly can't do it on your own.
Yeah, that's good. I think, like, when we think about repentance, there's almost, like, four things that are required. And you could say there's more, but I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I would say the first one is you have to not be blind to your sin.
Yes.
So I would say this is something that I have dealt with. I deal with it all the time. Is if you are wanting to repent and you're going and you're like, okay, I want to repent, I can't think of anything, your first step is to pray to see your sin. Okay, so for
the Or ask one of your friends or family members.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they've got a ton for you. So, yeah, like, recognizing your sin, seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
The second one.
You're good.
My mind. Why does this happen to me?
You have
time. I got the first one.
No, you're good.
The second one. The second one is grieving the sin.
Grieving
the sin,
yes.
So you see it, and it's not just being like, that's bad.
I shouldn't do that. But it's everyone like, does it.
It's like, even if it didn't have a consequence that caused you guilt, it's like, just follow the sin to the root of it and grieve it. See how it's bad. And, like, one of the ways you can do this is compare yourself to the Holy God, you know? Like, that'll clear it up for you real quick. And the third one would be actually, you know, applying the gospel. When I say applying the gospel, it's not because it hasn't been applied in a real sense. It's like considering the gospel, considering what Christ died and what that means for you. And then the fourth thing would be turning from it.
Yes.
Whatever that looks like. And that, I think, one of the ways you could turn from it, like Olive said, is by telling someone else. It could be like
fasting.
It could be trying one of the trying harder, one of the other disciplines we've talked about. It's a lot of things. So, you know, you have these different things for repentance. I would say, like, maybe four steps. You could say there's more.
No, but that's super helpful.
Yeah, I think, and I feel like I need to say this again. You have grace before you repent.
Yeah.
So, like, it's dependent on your repentance.
So good.
But we're called to do it because it's almost like prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When we ask for God to do something, and he answers it, he was going to do it anyway. Because he's sovereign, you know? But it's our participation in it. So that's how I view repentance.
Say what you said a couple nights ago about the difference between union and communion with Christ.
Yes. Okay, so I'll bring him up again. One of my favorite pastors, Kyle Worley, he actually has a book that's probably out now called Home with God. He talks a lot about union with Christ. And the way that he teaches on this is union with Christ, us being united, us being justified, is secure, and nothing we can do can change.
We have the living God living inside of us, which is another crazy, mysterious thing to think about.
Yes. So you are secure. That means, like, when you sin, no matter what it was, if you are saved, you are still saved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can repent and turn from that, and there is grace. That's union with Christ. Communion with God is completely dependent on whatever it is you're doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
As in, if you are devoting everything you are, heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, everything, to these disciplines, to knowing who God is, living for him, living like Christ.
Becoming a person of love.
Yes.
Growing in your compassion.
All of those things. That is like creating a stronger communion with God. Like this felt of walking with him, knowing him, understanding him. Because when you do these things that he's told us to do, you're understanding, you're living out literally his nature. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In a way that's like, not just, oh, I understand that he's loving, but I don't get it until I'm loving somebody that's hard to love. Right?
Yeah, like when Christ this was his lifestyle. He wasn't being like, I'm going to practice these spiritual disciplines so I can be formed into what God wants me to be. Like, he already was.
He is that.
He is that. And this was just his lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so it's our job, too, to make these things part of our lifestyle and our practice, too, so that we can actually share with the suffering in him and share with the development with him.
Yeah.
And because he's already developed. I'm not saying that. But it's his lifestyle that he's giving us to model after.
That's good. Yeah, so the flip side of communion with God is that if you don't do these things, you're going to experience that. Like, we wonder why when we're in these seasons where we've been like, when I say disobedient, I don't mean like, I can mean sin, but I mean like, you're just neglecting the things you know you should be doing.
Yes, you're not in your word, you're not praying, you're ignoring God.
You're not doing all these things, and then you're wondering, why do I feel like God is like so distant or has forgotten me or whatever it is? It's like, well, have you forgotten him?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't say that with any lack of empathy. No. There are times when, like, we go through hard, dry seasons.
Absolutely.
But I'm talking about the times when it's like, You're not pursuing the Lord in scripture. You're not talking with him in prayer. You haven't tried fasting. You're not in community. You're not worshiping in anything. Like, all of those things, like, that affects your communion with the Lord. You're walking with him. Your felt presence of him. Yes. It doesn't change the fact that he is still near.
No.
And you are still united with him. But your felt presence, I'll say that again, your felt, like, presence of him.
Like, think about when you're in relationship with someone, and I think I've said this before on the podcast, and they send you a text and you forget to respond for it for a week. Mm-hmm. And they're asking you something important and you forgot to respond, and you knew that you forgot to respond to their text. And then you see them in person and you feel awkward. Mm-hmm. And you feel that tension.
Yep.
That's what sin does to our relationship with God. It disrupts the communion. And I said this before, but I'll say it again. Like, a way that someone said this that was so practical and helpful for me is that a lot of times we expect our obedience to come from a feeling of intimacy and a feeling of love and a feeling of closeness with the Lord. But in reality, our obedience comes first.
Yeah.
We obey, we do the things, and not to earn his intimacy, not to earn his love, but just so that we can experience it. Because just like the text message thing, like, when you're ignoring someone's relationship, there's going to be distance there. Mm-hmm. And so all of these spiritual disciplines are tools to help close that gap between you and God.
That's good. Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about fighting sin, but in a very real sense, everything we're talking about this season is a way to fight sin. Everything.
And also, I want to reiterate too that, like, we're not, the end goal of the discipline isn't just to never sin again. The end goal of the discipline is to become more like the God that we say we're trying to live our lives after.
Yep.
And so when we say fight sin, know that, like, the Lord has blessed these spiritual practices to give you extra spiritual power to fight some of these things that are keeping you from him.
Yep.
But the end goal of a fast isn't just to say, like, I went 3 days without eating food, not even once.
Yep.
The end goal of a fast is to be like, I did not eat food for 3 days, and I spent all that time communing with God and praying to God, and I feel like I can hear his voice more clearly, and my prayer life is stronger, and I have the confidence that he can sustain me. I don't have to depend on food or any other worldly thing.
Yeah.
Like, that is a goal. It's not just to be able to say that you did something.
Yeah.
Or to say that you were in your word every morning.
Yeah. I think it's like the same, like, when we talk about salvation. Salvation is not just to escape hell.
Yeah.
It's to, you know, be united and to have a right relationship with our Creator. And so then when you think about these spiritual disciplines, it's not just to not sin.
Yeah.
It's you're pursuing the life you were created to have.
So good.
So honestly, the fighting sin is like a, what do you call it? Not a consequence, but like,
like effect. A side effect?
Yeah, like a side effect. It naturally happens.
Yeah.
It's like when you read in Galatians, I want to say it's like Galatians 5. It talks about what it looks like when you live in the flesh and what it looks like when you live in the spirit. The calling there is not to, don't do all these things. It's do all these things and you won't do all these other things.
Yeah, that's
you know
good.
What I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for clarifying that, because, you know, we're talking about fighting sin because fasting and repentance are maybe two of the ones that are more reactionary. Like, you know, after you have sinned, these things can be helpful or whatever it is. But all of them, if you're pursuing them, even fasting as a proactive thing, like just to be
draw
closer to the Lord, sin, you know, naturally is being fought.
Yes. Okay. So fasting, both fasting and repentance are practices to grow in holiness. Because there's a difference between being morally good and holy. There's a difference between doing good things and being a good person, but then being a holy person.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being good and being godly.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, with fasting, not only are you growing in, like, your self-denial and your dependence on the Lord, but you're actually growing in holiness. Mm-hmm. And I think that repentance is the same way. Mm-hmm. As you repent, you're growing in holiness. You're becoming more holy. You're becoming more like God with both of these things. And so I think that's another thing that we can attach to, like, the result of both of these things. So, like, if you desire to be more holy, but you don't know how, try these two things, and I promise you, like, you will grow in your holiness.
That's good.
So that's really good. Kylie, do you have anything else that you want to add? Like any other practical, as we wrap up, like things to, any last words on fasting or repentance? I still have lots of thoughts about fasting and I'm currently like working through. So maybe we'll do a part two at some point.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like I have not opposing, but very different practical, maybe encouragement for both. I would say like Olive said, near the beginning with fasting, start small. With biblical fasting, food fasting, start small.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wanting to do like a self-denial fast, really be harsh on yourself.
Yes.
On what you need to consider giving up and do that in community, because mm-hmm. you will.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Something that I think about fasting too is like, it's not just a personal thing that you do with God. You see in the Bible how they fast and pray as a community, as a church body, mm-hmm. corporately. And I think that there's something so powerful about doing that.
For sure.
And I think that, again, talking about the spiritual blessing, that I don't know what it is. Like, the Lord hears all of our prayers. It's not like fasting is some magical way to where God will give you what you want. But offering your bodies as a sacrifice is a pleasing fragrance mm-hmm. to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times fasting starts from the Lord placing a desire in your heart, mm-hmm. a prompting.
Yeah.
To from him to do that, because like, who is gonna want to like fast on their own? No one.
Might grow to get there, but no.
Yeah, not yet. So like, be obedient to that, and also try to fast with your community group.
Yeah,
and pray about something specific, even if it's like we're all gonna give up lunch and be praying at the same time together.
Yeah,
I think that there's some. Oops, sorry, I just hit the wall. There's something so beautiful and powerful about that.
Yeah, and I would say with repentance, do it as often as you can. It's something you have to grow in. But I would say, even if there is a sin that's prevalent, that is like top of mind to repent mm-hmm. of, always be praying to mm-hmm. see your sin. Because there's countless sins that we commit throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And odds are, majority of them you're blind to. Because just like normal in our society and these things. Like the amount of times you could gossip with Christian friends. For and it's sure. like, it feels justified for some reason or whatever it is. Like, always be praying as a part of your repentance. Start repenting daily. Always be praying to see your sin, to not be spiritually blind. And I would say, yeah, like Olive said, repent in community. You don't have to do it to like your whole group, but like find somebody that you already have that relationship that you trust to be able to repent. Not just like, hey, I'm struggling with this, but like, this is a very hard thing I'm dealing with, like a very deep-rooted sin, and I need help. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The surface level, the deeper sense, all of it.
Yeah. And it's vulnerable and scary, but so worth it and so freeing.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about doing this is the first time that you do it, it's really, really nasty and feels like the worst thing in the world. But then the second time you do it, you realize, like, why would I expect my human self to be any different?
Yeah. That's good.
And it's so freeing.
Yeah. Well, I really loved this episode.
I did too. We covered a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot. If you're still with us, thank you. We hope that this is like a good starting place for you, the mm-hmm. same way that, you know, a lot of this was kind of new language for us, especially around fasting. We hope that you're like kind of feeling pumped up to take a leap and try it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think the Lord is going to bless any effort to become more like him with the right heart posture. So I'll just encourage you guys in that.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.